Welcome to the Operation Move podcast. My name is Zoe, and this is part two of my chat with Kirsten, which was last year when we were, on our way to being very relaxed after a yoga retreat. So now we've got, how long does it take to get to Canberra?
About an hour.
Yeah, about an hour. Flight's delayed, so we've done lots of shopping today that we wouldn't have been able to do otherwise.
Then I've ticked off a few bits of personal admin. Thank you. It's for the company, Zoe.
And I am ignoring the fact that I'm not going to get home until midnight. I just, I've had two very good coffees and I'll have a teensy little nap on the plane. Very good at micro napping now.
Excellent.
There was a time when I could never go to sleep on cue, and now I'm opportunity sleep.
It's an art form. I feel like it's a thing that you could work towards, right? It doesn't come easily, being able to nap.
Yeah, and it is handy when you have the ability, and usually it's only I do best with a 20 minute it's not a full sleep cycle.
It's just enough
so that I get a little bit of rest, but then when I wake up I'm not groggy.
You don't feel bullshit, which is the risk, isn't it?
Yeah, it is the gamble that you take. So we still had a couple of questions to get through.
We did.
So probably the first one was, what did running teach us? That sort of applies to other things. It's a very, that's a good question, but it's a broad.
It's a very broad.
Broad question.
Very, yeah.
And I think it's probably changed, for me anyway, I think it's changed over time. I think in the beginning, the lessons were really big. It was one of those things that I thought that I could never be a runner, or run 5Ks or run without stopping.
Be competitive or be, in your age group or at a fun run or something like that. Athletic.
I avoided it. Yeah. I always disliked it in my 20s. And I just never, and so when I did those things, it then kind of challenged other parts of my identity, things that ideas you hold off, I couldn't do that. They're I did this other thing that I thought that I couldn't do. So
look what happened there.
And, gave me confidence in other areas, going and doing the coaching accreditation, which I was scared shitless of,
Much anxiety. You have to do stuff in front of people.
Assessments in front of people, not just staff, but actually
assessments.
Run a mini training thing in front of people and then get feedback in front of people on the spot. Terrifying.
It was traumatic.
Things like that, or even just walking into a gym. Before running, I would walk into the gym to use a treadmill, but that was about the extent of my confidence level. And then afterwards I was I could go and do CrossFit. I could walk into a gym like that and that would be okay. And admittedly, with something like that, it wasn't in the beginning very difficult, and wasn't without a few years to get over the speed bumps.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't have had the opportunity to get over the speed bumps without running. And I think it just gave me that it's a little backbone I might be crap at all of this other stuff, but I can go and run 5 kilometres without stopping. So that's pretty good.
Yeah.
What about you in the beginning?
I think in the beginning it taught me that if I committed to something, I could see it through.
Yeah.
And I had tried to learn how to run before, and it had gotten a bit hard and a bit boring, I guess. And I'd stopped, and part of that might have been the plan that I was following. it wasn't super interesting, and it was very vague, and I had no one to do it with. So, and I was just a, it wasn't super important to me. Whereas when I did it with Upmove, after I'd had Heidi, it was really important to me. And I was really invested in the process, and I was absolutely not going to give up. So it taught me that, yeah, that I can A, do the hard thing, B, when I want to, I can commit and see it through. And also I think in a roundabout way it's taught me to, or, you know, it's trying to teach me, it has tried to teach me over the last 8 years to think big, you know, don't limit myself to the fact that when I first started running, all I wanted to do was run 3 times a week for half an hour. I just wanted to run 5K 3 times a week. And I thought that that was what I had set my sights on. And, you know, little did I know or realise or anticipate. So it's taught me that I can do far more than what I think I can, and that I can commit to things, and I can, you know, I can do the hard things, and I can push through to reach my goals, and that my goals don't have to look like anybody else's goals. They're just mine.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. And I think I guess taught me an awful lot. I guess also, you know, not having it in my life for the last 6 or 7 months has taught me just as much about how much it means to me to have running, and how badly do I want it back, I guess, you know, and do I still, you know, how do I feel about it not being part of who I am for the last 6 or 7 months? Yet I still call myself a runner.
Which is funny.
Even though I haven't run for 7 months.
Sometimes I've people like, I might be at a finish line cheering some people on, and they'll be like, oh, I'm not a runner. I only run 5Ks. And I'm like, I got some bad news.
Newsflash. I'm very sorry to let you know, but you actually are.
You are a runner. Yeah, sorry to disappoint.
No, I know, right. So it's interesting. So obviously I still identify as a runner, and I'm really not ready to let it go. So obviously I'm prepared to fight for it and try and get it back in my life. For it to be more of a part of my life than it has been. So, and I know that I know from previous experience of things that I've sort of gotten involved in, like, you know, I used to sew, and I would sew every day or every week or whatever, and I would sew and sew and sew, and then I just stopped one day. And it has been, I would imagine, maybe 8 years since I last touched my sewing machine with the purpose of actually sewing something rather than just moving it from one place to another. In the cupboard, you know, or contemplating selling it secondhand. It is, obviously I'm not done with it yet, but yeah. And I think the second part of that question was, what has it taught? Like, how does that apply into other areas of life? And I think, you know, it's taught me that about other people, that there's more to people than what you see. You know, people don't look at me and think that, Kirsten must have done this, whatever. Like, it doesn't, I don't wear it on my, like, I don't wear those running accomplishments or anything that are my accomplishments, you know. And so you just never know what interests people might have if you just talk to them and ask them. And everybody has a different version, a different view of success or a different view of meeting a challenge. And what might be a challenge to one person is, you know, not a challenge to another person, and that's okay. But yeah, and I think it's just, it's given me the confidence to know that, yes, I can do hard things and I can persist at doing those hard things, even when it's uncomfortable or, you know, I might feel like giving up, which has been, it's been, that's been a theme lately in my life with work. So being hard and stressful and whatever else, but like, I know it won't always be hard and stressful. Like in a run, eventually it ends, and then you feel pride and you feel gratitude and you feel exaltation and all the rest of it. So I feel like it's there's lessons there for the rest of your life as well.
Yeah, I don't think I would have like gone back to uni without the impact of running, because I would have just thought, I can't do that. You know, like that's too hard, or like it's going to take too much time, or you know, like whatever is the reason that you know like I can't manage that. But then you know, like when you manage, you know, being at the gym 5 times a week and running 110 kilometers a week, I'm pretty sure I can manage that.
Yeah.
You know, and just I think it tends to make me then less anxious in situations where I would normally be anxious, like when we're doing presentations or, you know, or even like I always find it a bit challenging, like after I've submitted an assessment to read the feedback, because I'm always like, I really don't know.
No, I hate reading feedback.
And if I can avoid reading feedback, I probably will. But I'm just better equipped to read it and sort of like take it on board and, you know, like all of that sort of stuff. And I think over the last period where things like post-COVID have not gone to plan, and also other life stuff have kind of like gotten in the way of what my normal routine would be. And, you know, I've had time to sort of step back and go, you know, like is, you know, running, you know, like most days of the week and for, you know, an hour or more, like what I want to be doing, had a chance to kind of look at all of that. I think it's also taught me a little bit of patience in that, like, initially, like, I always check my time hop mostly for kids. Like, let's be real. Like, I don't really look at it because I
can small children, like you too.
Yeah, like babies, kittens. That's why I'm there.
Yeah.
But obviously, like a lot of running stuff pops up, and probably in the first, you know, like period of time of looking at that stuff, I would kind of feel like probably disappointed or demotivated or like, who is that person?
Yeah.
And I've noticed, like, probably over the last little while that it's sort of starting to shift where I've kind of like, well, you know, like I did that. So, like, I could do that again.
Yeah.
And it's starting to tip over ever so slightly into being motivational, demotivational. And it's just sort of taught me that, like, nothing is ever gonna like last forever. Like it's you just have to, it's sort of like having that patience to kind of go, like, it's okay that I'm in a different space, but if I just, and it's, I probably haven't stuck with it as much as I would like, but by the same token, even in like tough weeks, I have usually at least done one run, you know, and most weeks I would have done, you know, like 5 or something like that. And it has just kind of helped me to go, you know, like, this is a really long-term thing. And, you know, like, this blip that I appear to be having, even though it's probably, you know, like, I guess, like, really getting up to 6 months now, is still a blip in the amount of time that I've been running, which is for, you know, like 8 to 10 years or like whatever it is now.
Yeah.
And, you know, like the important thing is that, like, not to sort of like push through that when I'm not prepared to push through it. So it can still be going, okay, like, what is the version of running that I can enjoy right now? And last week it was 5Ks.
Yeah.
That is the version.
And I guess, and for me, the key word in that is enjoy.
Yeah, definitely.
Like, and not chore. What is, you know, what is the version of running that you can enjoy rather than, you know, what do I have to do? You know, you get to go for a run. You don't have to go for a run. You get to go for a run. And looking at that from an enjoyment point of view at the moment,
and it's like, what is going to, like, add stuff in rather than take stuff away?
Yeah.
And for me, like, that could change depending on, you know, like, how things are going, like, what that looks like. But when I sort of looked at it and sort of, like, felt like, what is the time or the distance of a run that I could go for where I'm not going to get to a point in that run and go, oh, I wish this was done now.
Yeah.
Like, and so for me, that's definitely keeping it under an hour. Yeah. And by keeping it 30 minutes, like probably 45 minutes would be fine. And on, I guess, what was it, like Thursday, I went for a run after the gym and I had planned on doing 45, but then I ran into someone from the gym and we stopped and we talked for 15 minutes, so I ended up doing 30. So, you know, like, I think that sort of, that has been, like, important to sort of, like, have a little bit of flexibility with it and just, like, being able to wait until that, part of me comes back. And I've had that experience before, like, which was not, like, personal stress related. It was more like I'd just done too much training wise and I got burnt out, and so I just did sort of like pretty easy stuff for, I think it was like a couple of years. Easy to underestimate like how much burnout can knock you around.
And I think one of the other things running has taught me is that stress is stress.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if it's stress that's coming from running or from work or from life changes or, you know, emotional, mental stress, physical stress. It doesn't matter. And we've all been under an awful lot of stress, some people more than others, you know, for various reasons. And that's not, you know, COVID just in the background providing that low-level stress or higher-level stress, depending on, you know, depending on the person. But you know, it all takes its toll, doesn't it? And if you're putting a lot of emotional energy or mental energy, physical energy into one thing, you can't just, you know, it all just compounds and it all adds up and it all takes its toll. And when other things in life are hard, sometimes the running needs to be easy, so that it's an outlet rather than a chore, and it is a pressure valve rather than adding to the pressure. I mean, sometimes, like we were talking about this yesterday, that, you know, sometimes you need it to be the pressure and sometimes you need it to be the pressure valve. So,
and sometimes you've also got to accept that, like, too, like, okay, like if I'm running this amount, then I need to do this amount of strength training. If I can't get my head around that amount of strength training, then I've got to run less if I want that sort of...
Otherwise, it's a big heap of nothing.
Longevity.
There's a whole big injury waiting.
You know, so, you know, like sometimes it is about, like, doing less so that you can be consistent for longer and, you know, like, I think also, you know, like, the running stuff has really helped me with, you know, sort of getting better with self-care stuff, because I think that it teaches you that, like, there's an aspect where you do need to do things that are just for you, that aren't for children or work or family, you know, whatever else.
Yeah.
And I think that can then, like, help you take that into other areas as well.
Yeah.
Like, you know, whether it's sort of like getting a massage or a treatment, or just, you know, or even how I, you know, like, give the kids mental health days, you know, like, yep, all of that sort of stuff, just having an understanding of, you know, stress and rest, and, you know, like, finding a balance, and, you know, sort of like, just, it probably is like a lot of the stuff that surrounds running too, like, yeah, you know, sort of like learning about how impacted I am by, you know, like, food and motivation, and, you know, like, and not having it be like a super rigid thing, like not having like a meltdown if I have a week of, you know, like eating pizza and brownies. You know, like, that's
sometimes your deficit, your body is, you know, deficient in pizza and brownies.
It just
has to happen.
And, you know, like, it's just being, so I think that it does help with, like, sort of like allowing me to be more sort of in tune with my body, rather than, I think that before I started to run, I wrote about this like a long time ago in a galaxy far away, but I used to kind of think of like being a sort of like a more intellectual person. I used to kind of think of myself in some ways as disconnected from my body.
Yeah.
And that my body was like an adversary. Like if I was trying to kind of like do something physical, like my body
against it
was like an obstacle in my way,
yeah,
instead of, you know, like, greatest asset.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah.
And sort of learning that I could, you know, sort of like honour my body while attempting to improve it, and like holding those two ideas in one, and not like, you know, not like treating like whether it was like weight loss as some kind of victory over my body instead of something that my body,
or that you're waging against yourself.
Yeah, like my body was able to do. Like the fact, like you think, I think about it now, like when we're like at the gym and we're doing like, you know, like sandbag carries or something like that.
Yeah.
And I think about, okay, like I used to walk around with this extra weight, and I used to run with it
attached to your body.
Yeah. And how amazing is my body that it would do all of that. So I think it taught me that, like, in some ways, the least efficient version of my physical body and physical fitness was also the most impressive version.
Yeah. Look, you know, it did.
Yeah.
Look, exactly. It did. And it did it again and again when you asked it to.
It ran several half marathons while I was a full-time smoker.
That's commitment. Full-time smoking is a huge commitment.
It is. Yeah. And I was like probably, it wasn't as expensive back then, but I was probably at that point would easily, you know, like smoke like half a pack of cigarettes in a day.
Yeah.
I can't exactly remember, but that was probably around like when it was less expensive. I was definitely a pack a day smoker.
Yeah.
And I would literally like go for a run and then have a cigarette. Like the best cigarette of the day.
Oh, that is just so priceless. Absolute solid goals. It really is.
Yeah.
That's funny.
So I've had a significant upgrade from
At least it stops the post-run cough, doesn't it?
Exactly.
Get some deep breathing happening.
So it's been a real upgrade going from that to like
100%
coffee and avocado toast.
That has
been a massive
improvement.
But I also don't think that I would really have even been able to have been smoking
without the running.
No, because like, and not just
he wouldn't have been motivated to.
Not just for the running, but it's sort of like it was this constant physical feedback. Like you can, if you're not like doing something like that, you could easily be a smoker and not really notice it beyond like when you're going upstairs or, you know, like 100%,
you get used to what your norm is, don't you? Because as smokers, like generally speaking, and I know it's stereotypical, most smokers are not physically active.
No.
So, you know, because they're not natural bedfellows. They don't, they don't go hand in hand, because you very quickly learn to avoid exercise because you mean either to make up more time to have a cigarette, or because having the cigarette makes you feel shit, like, you know, feel like shit when you're doing the exercise.
Yeah.
Like, so you just avoid that kind of behaviour because you want to reinforce the habit that gives you the more pleasure, which is smoking.
Yeah. So, you know, like, it was having that constant physical feedback on it was very useful, particularly because, like, for most people who are quitting, it takes several goes. Like, a few people do it the first time. And I certainly, like, had enough experience of this is what my body feels like when it's not smoking, running, and this is what it feels like when I am. And you like the addict, you like to have this cognitive dissonance. Like, I could do this. And you can, but it's not going to feel the
same. And on a lesser level, like on a much smaller level, for most of us, not everybody, and it's the same with alcohol for me, is that, you know, I stopped drinking alcohol because I didn't like the way it felt when I was running the next day, and I didn't get a good sleep, which made my running feel worse. So that was a natural, it was a no-brainer for me. Well, I'll just drink less or no alcohol, easy.
Yeah.
I think one of the really other important things that running and running injury has taught me is that running is an awesome stress reliever, but it can't be your only stress reliever. You have to have other outlets, because if you only relieve your stress by running, you will injure yourself.
I have a yarn
You will not be able to run at all.
I have a yarn collection. That's up there.
Yeah,
very.
Yeah.
Because it's just, you just do need, like, and having had an injury where it was, I don't know, like 5 months or something that I didn't run for.
Yeah,
you have to, like, sit with yourself.
And it's an uncomfortable. We're not great company.
You know, and like, you can do other stuff. Like, eventually I was able to sort of, like, cycle or, you know, swim or whatever. But you have to sort of, like, start developing other skills. Otherwise, they're a lot.
And you can't just chase that runner's high as your stress relief. Like, you know, the whether it's yoga, you know, getting a, you know, walking away with a beautiful feeling of zen or bliss from, you know, from yoga, or feeling energized in a different way. Like, there has to be some other outlets for you to you know, decompress, or, you know, relieve the pressure or whatever.
Because a lot of times
you can't just fix more stress with more running, because we'll end up in no running and an injury 9 times out of 10.
And even, like, I think too, it's good to have skills that are non out there, but non-exercise or movement-based.
Yes.
Your stress relief.
Reading books, getting a massage, having a facial, whatever it is that floats your boat, having a coffee with a friend or whatever, getting away for a weekend by yourself or with a friend, whatever. Like, there are so many options out there that are not based around moving your body necessarily, that can actually, because there's different sorts of rest, isn't there? And I think, you know, getting sleep is one of them. But, you know, there's lots of other different types of quality rest, and some of it's having fun and doing fun things with people that you love spending time with, whether that's your friends or your family or a, you know, personalised combination of the two. Or, you know, it's up to you, but and everybody's different. But yeah, like, that's, you know, I mean, I found that this weekend, yes, it was really incredibly restful, but it was lots of different types of rest. It was time away from social media and from the internet, because we had no internet, and there was only text messages. Having time away from worrying or thinking about my family or my kids. Time away from work, the yoga, you know, the deep rest that came with the nidra and the yin and all that sort of stuff was another element. And also just connecting with people that I enjoy spending time with, you know, spending time with Zoe and spending time with my sister-in-law and with my yoga teacher and my friends from yoga. Like, it was so multifaceted.
Yeah.
And also, you know, we went for 2 walks over the weekend. you know, things like that. And just also that nourishing, beautiful, nourishing, you know, food that we didn't have to cook or clean up after or anything, which was, like, as a mum and as an adult, that's also incredibly restful
yeah.
in and of itself, to waive responsibility. And all I have to decide is what I'm going to put on my plate, how many cups of tea do I actually need to drink, or do I feel like drinking, and do I go and, you know, do I go, what do I do with my spare time? You know, it was a restful experience in a very multifaceted way. I think that highlighted that it's you can't just, you need to pay attention to the various aspects of yourself and apply rest to, you know, to the various parts of your body and your soul and your mind and, you know, and your heart and all that sort of stuff.
There can be a risk with some types of movement, like whether it be like running or strength training or whatever, that you are choosing to not feel something
yes.
emotional by
yes.
feeling something physical
yes.
and you're not actually dealing with it. You're just yes. kind of, it's kind, can
yep.
occasionally be like a form of suppression.
It is.
Like, I don't want to feel this, so I'm going to go out, I'm going to like
yep.
smash out this run, and all I'm going to feel is like
exhausted.
My lungs burning and,
yep.
you know,
oh, avoidance.
Yeah. And so in some, and it can be both, like it's not always like one or the other, but I think that having things that help you, like maybe process things more deeply, and is also useful. Whether that's, you know, like I've found doing some mindfulness, which I always thought was like the same as meditation, but turns out I found that really. Really useful. As somebody who's, I think, certain personalities, if you're like a little bit anxious, you tend to be always like focused on like the past or the future, and not like in the moment.
Yeah, not be present.
And whether it's doing stuff like that, or it's doing like creative stuff, or some, you know, like journaling or like whatever else, I think that there are, you know, a lot of ways, and I just love that. I think I mentioned it another podcast, but that thing of not like finding a solution you love and thinking that it's going to solve every problem. You know, like it's one thing, and just, you know, you've got to sort of like fall in love with them. Problem or the process and not the solution.
Yeah.
So, you know, running's not going to, like,
it's not going to fix everything.
Fix everything.
And it can actually make some things worse.
And
because the longer you put off dealing with how you feel about something,
yeah.
the bigger that, you know, generally speaking, I'm absolutely not a counsellor or a psychologist, but, you know, problem doesn't go away just because you haven't dealt with it, does it?
No.
You know, you're just delaying the inevitable, and sometimes the problem is bigger by the time you actually are forced to deal with it instead
yeah.
of choosing to deal with it. But, you know, yes, it can save a marriage, maybe, like it can save it can stop you from saying you know, those magic four words, or
sometimes, you know, it is as simple as like just stopping yourself from doing something that's going to make the problem worse. Like, it's not necessarily going to solve it, but it's going to stop you from doing something stupid.
But it's not, I think going for a run, if you're feeling a certain feeling, is not too dissimilar from, you know, eating your feelings. Like, you know, you're running, you go for a run to stop, to get rid of that feeling. And we do that with food as well. I mean, you can.
Yeah, a lot of my feelings do taste a lot like meringue pie.
I love how sometimes my feelings taste amazing. Not going to deny, but and sometimes a run is awesome, but, you know, for the similar reasons. But at the same time, yeah, you've still, I think it's important to, you know, to realise that it's not It's not a panacea, is it?
No.
It's not,
like,
sometimes, not a fix-all.
Sometimes it just helps to clarify your feelings, and then you go, okay, like, this is what I need to do.
You can still go for a run.
Sometimes I have very good ideas on a run, but also sometimes not going for a run and sleeping in is something that I feel better for, because yep. I just need the rest. And I then go into the day, you know, like feeling like I have like more capacity for like what I need to deal with. So, you know, and I think that's also one of the other questions was, it's like, so like, how much is too much? There was a joke about like coffee and cake, and we all know, well,
some of us love coffee more than coffee loves us.
Yes, that's true.
Sadly, but yeah, and you can laugh and joke about all that sort of stuff, but also the, you know, the third thing in that particular question was life. How much is too much? And I think, to be honest, this year life has been a lot. And it's been gonna, yeah, I don't know, it's it would just be nice if everything could just pause for a little minute.
Yeah.
So that just we can just start processing what's been happening over the last few years. You know, I feel like through the last 3 years, like this week, it's on the 16th, it's Jack's third anniversary since he was diagnosed with diabetes. And so in 4 days' time, when we're recording this, and I feel like everything started then for me. It didn't start with COVID. It started on the 16th of December. And five days in hospital.
Was it December?
I mean, where it was right. It was 9 days before Christmas, and I had just run 100K two weeks beforehand, maybe 2.5 weeks beforehand, and I was still recovering from my 100K down at Falls Creek, and I had given myself a nasty case of gastro to boot, which had slowed down my recovery. And I was still exhausted when I went into hospital with Jack for those 5 days. And I don't think, and I'm still processing that, you know, because then we were bushfires, and then it was COVID, and then it was, everything got cancelled. And, you know, I ran towards the fire instead of, you know, doing anything else. I was like, well, how can I help? You know, what can I do? Tell me where you need me. And I haven't stopped since then. And it's been, you know, 3 years is a long time to run at that level of what feels like that level of stress.
Yeah, it's like somebody's like asked
hypervigilance for 3 years.
Run a hard mile, but then you've kept going.
Every day.
Like an ultra.
I feel like I'm on that, what's it called, that Sri Chinmoy 3,000-kilometre madness block of the, you know, where they run mile blocks in New York City for 12 hours, 14 hours a day for 6 weeks or whatever it is, something ridiculous, where they run 3,000 miles and they never leave that same 1 mile. I feel like that's the effort that it feels like at the moment. And so I'm not surprised that this year that I have literally just burnt myself out, and that I, you know, if I didn't know better, I would have mistaken it for depression, I think, you know. And there were days when I questioned my mental health and, you know, is this burnout or am I depressed, you know?
Yeah.
What is the difference? Because they feel very similar. And I have, like, I've never been diagnosed with depression or anything, but this is how I imagine things. Like, that's, you know, if I'm not at work or doing something that a child needs right at that time, then I was in bed. I was on my bed, and I was completely disconnected. And I just feel now, after allowing myself that space to rest and retreat and heal and, you know, sort of recuperate, that I feel like I'm starting to get back to being my normal self again, my old self again.
Yeah, like my experience with depression was like it was very dissociative, which, you know, is very similar to burnout.
Yeah.
You know, like, I mean, they can almost be interchangeable. So, I didn't sleep, which is, like, what? It's very easy to get very close to psychosis when you don't sleep. Yeah. So, like, I would sleep, but only for 5 to 10 minutes at a time.
Wow.
And it was just, like, you know, like, very small things were, like, maximum effort things, you know. And it has felt very similar, you know, like, not quite as, like, at that level where that was a level where I was on medication for, I think, about 6 months.
Yeah.
So I haven't felt the need to do that this time, but I have felt like,
yeah,
you're on the edge.
Yeah.
Like,
it could,
like,
go either way some days,
like,
couldn't it?
Like, you are right on the edge of, like, where things that, yes, are upsetting, are distressing, but normally you would have the capacity to deal with, and instead of, like, it's not like you're still sort of dealing with it, but, like, me, like, having a rough drop-off with Arlo and then essentially, like, crying on and off the rest of the day is, like, really, like, on the edge there. That's, like, and or, like, not being able to express something simple without sort of, like, choking back tears to people who are acquaintances.
Yeah.
Not,
but do you think, though, that, and, you know, maybe if it's too personal a question, that's not a problem. But do you think, though, that you've got a really good reason why you've been feeling like this? You know, like, you've had a lot going on in your life, which is, for anybody, really challenging stuff.
Yeah.
You know, it's and maybe, and like I said, I have never been medicated for depression or diagnosed with depression. But do you feel like you've got reasons?
Yeah, that whereas
rather than with the depression, it doesn't matter.
No.
Like, it just, it I wouldn't have, matter. No. You would feel like that anyway. But this time you actually have some, like, you've got something very real and very stressful, some, like, as well as the COVID stuff and uni and whatever else. You've got other stuff going on which would make you feel that way.
Yeah, like, it was very different. Like, the first time when I was, like, I think that I've always had periods of it, which I've sort of, like, managed to, like, manage, you know, without being medicated.
Yeah.
But this particular time, there was certainly no, like, situational, like, trigger.
Yeah.
And certainly it was unusual. Like, I think I was officially, like, diagnosed with, like, severe clinical depression. And I think that because Arlo was, like, maybe postpartum or whatever they call it, but it was kind of unusual because, like, you're over that, like, really hard part, but really, and Arlo is such an easy, like, after 6 weeks was such an easy baby and an easy toddler, like, so much easier than I'd experienced in the past, and was so independent.
Yeah,
and slept really well. So I wasn't sleep deprived, like, up until that point. Like, I had a pretty good, you know, like, home situation. I don't even think that I was really working at that time. But I was experiencing some, probably, like, a little bit of loneliness and isolation on the Central Coast.
Yeah.
And that was, like, right before we moved to where we moved.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like, no sort of, like, underlying reason. I was just, it was just what it was.
Yeah.
Whereas this is very situational in that, like, I'll have, like, a rough day and that's how I'll feel, and then I'll have a good day and I will feel so happy and, like, amazing that things are going really well.
Yeah.
And, you know, and so I
think some of those things are directly tied to what's to other things, other behaviours, or other, you know, other people, stuff, you know, like, it can really have a direct impact, you know.
And you have sort of, like, you know, like, you're kids' trauma sort of like mixing in with your off trauma, and you're just kind of going, oh, now I'm like really in it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, like it's not without its sort of reason, and it's just sort of like finding out, okay, like what part of my sort of like training stuff is gonna like support me through this and not make me feel even more shit.
Yeah.
You know, like the things that where I'm gonna go like go out, yeah, like I feel good about this. And at the moment I would say that is strength training, because I haven't, like, if anything, I'm probably a little bit stronger in some things than before. And it's just one of those things that COVID hasn't really like knocked it around.
Yeah.
So that, you know, like I can get like a sense of accomplishment out of, and like feeling like things are going well. So that's like a good thing for me at the moment. And also like running, you know, within, and it has been challenging to find, like I'm at that point where I need a structure to it.
Yeah.
Otherwise I'm getting bored.
And also sometimes it helps to get you out of your own head or out of your own way, I guess, and that you're not overthinking it because somebody's just telling you what to do.
Yeah.
Or, you know, even if it's you've written your own plan or whatever, like you just, you can, you just, you don't have, it's less, one less decision that you have to make every day
is
to just do the run that somebody set for you.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, so, like, that is like probably the more challenging thing, is just like finding that, like, just challenging enough, like not too challenging, easy most of the time, but occasionally just like a little bit of a thing to kind of like get. And, you know, and sometimes it can help. I was thinking about this, is like what I should have is like, say, if I do like one session like that a week or one fortnight, but then I will just move it around to like a day where I feel most like doing that.
Yeah. Dealing.
Because it's one of those things that you might think, oh, like you're not going to feel like that on any day, but you will, you know.
Every day is when you feel more resilient.
Yeah. And
more capable.
Or, and it could even be weather related. It's like, well, good morning.
Oh, it's a nice day for it. I might go and do this. Or if you've got company who might be happy to come and do it with you.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's easier to do harder things when you've got somebody else to complain to.
Yeah.
And you know, bad mouth your coach at.
I got nothing more than 48 in parkruns too. Mm. So I wanted to get to 50 by the end of the year, possibly.
Just squeeze that in.
I think I could just about squeeze it in. So, yeah, you know, like I think that it can be that figuring out, like, what's too much versus not enough is, and it can just be figuring out like the style of it as well, you know, like that's, I think that sometimes the thing with strength training too is like people think of it as all the same, but really it's incredibly different. And so what I've been sort of like, I haven't had a chance to fully start the program because, you know, like being away, I was like, oh, you know, I've done a few sessions, but I was like, oh, I'll formally start this like once I'm back and not traveling.
Yep.
But doing more, it's hit a bit of a rainy patch.
Yeah, so there might be a little bit of background noise.
I'm going to see how much I can clean up this audio. But, you know, like I've been kind of looking at working on the sort of like snatch and clean and jerk in the weightlifting style of things, because it is, I think, where it's, I'm never going to look at something, oh god, that looks like too heavy, because like it's a lot of like technique work, you know, and so it's a lot more about just being dynamic and, you know, like, and you're still doing the strength stuff, like it's still like, you know, balls, front squats, things like that in there. But I think that it's just something that's novel enough to go, well, that's a bit interesting, I haven't done that before, and start to see like some of those things improve. So I think, and I think it's similar with running, is there are so many styles of like training to do, like whether I'm doing like base training or like I go, oh, I want to do like a big development phase or this short stuff, which I think we, like, post-COVID probably seems to work out the best, because I'm never going to, like, jack my heart rate up really high if I'm just not doing
extended, like, time,
you know, 30-meter sprints or even 100-meter sprints. It's not really good. Like, you're not having that consistent cardiac drift going up. So, you know, like, I think that that can be, like, a way of doing it, and also just, like, elongating the time frame. So, like, this year I was supposed to go to Pan Pants, which is, like, a master's stuff on the Gold Coast, happens every 2 years. And I didn't go because I, like, because it's over several days, so it's a big time commitment, and I didn't feel like I would be, like, competitive at all. So I was like, nah, not really interested in doing that. But it is every 2 years, so I would be interested in doing it in 2 years, which is, like, a nice long time frame for, like, basically I looked at it, it's like, well, if I wanted to be competitive, I'd have to kind of, like, get back to, like, a 22-minute 5K.
Yeah.
And I'm definitely no mini at that. But, like, I could probably – I haven't done a 5K test in a while, but I would say that, you know, like, I could probably manage something in the vicinity of, like, 26, 27 minutes at the minute. Once, like, with really basic training, you know, I would say 24 minutes, no problem.
Yeah,
and so it's more that's the sort of gap I'm talking about, which for a 2 year period, I feel like is, like, potentially a good amount of time. So I think that if you just, like, broaden I also kind of think about, like, okay, like, I managed to get into this sort of, like, burnout COVID hole over a period of 3 years, and I think of it a bit like pregnancy. You know, like they say, it takes you about the same amount of time as at least as the pregnancy to kind of, like, get back to, like, where you might have.
It didn't happen overnight, and you can't expect it to be fixed overnight.
So I kind of think, you know, like a 3 year, like if it took me 3 years to get into this level of deep training, then giving myself 3 years to get back out of it is not
perfectly reasonable.
It's not unreasonable.
Yeah.
And
especially considering we still don't know yet what's going to happen in the next 12 months to 2 years. Like,
and I am getting older.
COVID
3 years.
COVID has, it's a fake news. You're only as old as you feel. You've just got, COVID's taught us that, hasn't it? Just always have to expect the Spanish Inquisition, don't you? To just, you know, expect that there's going to be another curveball coming, because, you know, I find it really hard when you, like, you know, you start to relax and start to, you know, maybe even it feels like you're getting a bit cocky, and then bang, there's another curveball. There's something else happens. The other penny, you know, the other shoe drops kind of thing, and it's something else waiting around the corner, you know.
Yeah.
Life is full of unexpected
It is
surprises.
Unpredictability that makes it hard. Like, it's not something, you know, like where you've got this really predictable timeline and you go, okay, well, this has happened, but by this time this will have happened and this will have happened. And it's very unpredictable. Like, I don't know. Like, I seem to be getting better. Like, with the, like, even just on a really micro level with being, like, post-infection with COVID.
Yeah.
But I don't really know, like, what the long-term impacts of that are going to be. I'm, you know, very grateful that the sort of the fatigue element appears to be no longer going on. But you just don't know how that's going to sort of, like, pan out over the long-term. And, you know, there are always so many other things going on as well. Like, I don't have a, like, severe scoliosis by any stretch of the imagination. But, you know, things can happen and move, like, as you get older.
And they do, don't they? Our skeletal, spine especially, changes as we age.
And, you know, like, it's, yeah, like, you just, there is, like, a real unknown factor about it, which I also think in some ways, as long as I sort of, like, stick to just, you know, like, being in the present, like, it's hard because you want to be able to plan stuff, but it's also just one of those things where
it's that little thing that sits on your shoulder and reminds you that you can't take it for granted.
No, and just like all of the sort of like getting fitter is great because it makes running more fun, but ultimately I would still like be outside were it not for all of that, you know. Sometimes it's more fun to be outside than others, you know, just depending on like the environment you're in and how humid it is.
Yes, indeed. Yeah. No, I think it's there's lots of food for thought, isn't there? There's lots of different, so many, you know, we're such multifaceted people, we're beings.
Yeah, and I think it's often too, sort of like at our age, it's a bit more of like a transition time too, because often you're going from having like maybe like kids are a bit younger, more requirement for you to be at home, or if you can be, you or you might want to be. And then once they're all sort of like much more established at school, like mine are both going to be in high school next year, and then you kind of like you're in the workforce more, and so you go from having this much more sort of like part-time work existence to a much more full-time work existence, and all of a sudden
it's a big change.
You're going, gee, it's a lot harder to fit in with 10 hours of running. What happened?
I know, right? What the hell? Not sure it's okay.
No.
Well, going to the gym, you know, you can't go you can't go to the 9:30 class anymore. Finding a time that, you know, that still gets you home in time to get the kids to school, so you've got to work and whatever. Yeah, that.
Or make dinner.
Or you still eat and sleep.
Some. Yeah. But apparently you're still expected to do.
It's unfortunate. It's slightly unfair.
So, yeah, I think that sometimes, like, your life has changed, but how you think about, like, your training hasn't changed in line. Because I've certainly sort of, like, resisted that change. It's like, no, I want to do everything that I've always done. While, you know, like, working 20 hours more and doing uni at least 10 hours a week, but still train exactly the way I always have.
And still do well at uni.
Yeah.
And still do well at work.
Yeah.
And still, yeah.
All of those things.
Yeah.
I would. And so part of it is that constant, like, reorienting of, okay, but that's not your reality.
Yeah.
You know, like, that is not, like, potentially, like, maybe it could be if you were a billionaire and, like, you know, people to do stuff for you 24/7, which would be very nice. But it's not, you know, and so, and also, like, one of the things that Mel, the yoga teacher at the retreat, was saying, which I think is such good advice beyond just restorative yoga, is that don't feel like because, like, doing something harder is necessarily going to be better.
Yeah.
You know?
More is not always better.
Yeah. You know, like, you can have great results with running, you know, like, 6-7 days a week, and you can have amazing results with running 3 times a week because but 3 times a week you are probably, like, having awesome recovery. You're probably having better sleep.
Yep.
You're probably feeling a lot better about those sessions. Like, you're not, like, carrying fatigue.
You're looking forward to them.
Into sessions.
Enjoying them.
And particularly for women, that sort of get less adaptation from, like, the volume as you get older, because, you know, you just don't respond the same way to men due to smaller lungs, smaller, you know, all of that sort of stuff. And so it's very possible that you could do even better just by having like more high quality sessions, but less of them.
Not everybody responds well to lots.
I tend to, which is why I've like, but yeah, not everyone does.
No.
Like I've always been like, if I'm sort of doing, you know, like historically, if I've been running 50 kilometres a week, that's probably maintaining, but probably not getting any better.
Yeah.
But just because that was what it was like in the past
doesn't mean that's what it's going to be in the future.
Like it could, you know, like I don't know.
Yeah.
And also there's no point in kind of going, oh, well, I've got to run 70 kilometres a week and doing that for 1 week and then doing nothing for 2 weeks. Like, that's not going to help me either. Yeah. So, yeah, it is one of those things where I've just sort of, you could, it's just like what you can consistently do, and that's probably less.
Yeah, I think so. And consistency is king, isn't it?
Yeah.
Or queen, whichever.
Yeah, yeah. And it is, I think, probably a lot of people, like at least that we know and in Run Club and stuff, are like at the stage in their life where they're going through that transition.
Yeah, a lot of us are all the same, similar ages, aren't we?
Yeah.
You know, we're in the same age bracket, sort of 40 and over.
Yeah.
You know,
and you're kind of like
to mid-50s
from
maybe.
Like maybe doing like part-time work to like now you're in like a career job.
Yeah.
Not you're not like working.
Yeah.
You've got like...
Not just paying the bills.
Yeah,
just
exactly.
Just getting a bit of extra money. We're nearly at the airport.
We are.
Mm.
So.
Yeah. It's been lovely. So lovely. We haven't done this for a long time, have we?
Uh-huh. And we don't.
Be lovely to chat.
Don't normally get to do it in person.
No, this is probably the first time we've ever done it face to face, which is a real treat. But we better say thanks for listening. And thanks for listening to us. Ramble.
We have delivered 2 hours as promised.
As promised. 2 hours of talking shit with each other as promised to our core fan base. it's been really nice. It's just a conversation, right?
Yeah.
And other people get to listen. Take from it what you will. But it's been awesome. Yeah, and Heidi's been in the back seat for this one and listening to the last 20 minutes, rolling her eyes, I'm sure. But anyway.
Thanks again to Kirsten for that conversation, and also our captive audience, Heidi. I will be back next time. It really, I'm not overly confident about the time scale here because I'm about to start a 6-week intensive on anatomy and physiology. But I do have something which I'm really excited to share next time, which is with Anna Spargo Ryan. And I will get that edited because it's in video, so it takes a little bit longer, as soon as I can. And that will be the next time you hear from me.